I turn for the scripture reading for the message this morning, and you will see that we have taken a break from our studies in John's record of the gospel to entertain yet another text this morning. Matthew, it is Matthew chapter 25, and I begin reading at verse 30 of this passage, breaking in to our Lord's teaching and preaching, to Matthew 25 and verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Turn with me in your Bible, please, to our text in Matthew 25, and I shall attempt briefly to bring a message entitled, Why Will You Die? It has been some time ago now, specifically it was December of 2012, that I brought a message from Luke chapter 16 on the subject of today's message, and that is hell. December of 2012, I brought a message, Come and Go With Me to Hell, and it is in the series, that album, that set that our brother Gormley put together, Come Go With Me series, the message on hell. In that message, among many other things, I spoke to you about the matter of hell as being God's retribution. in the introduction of that message, I took the liberty to look with you at Webster's definition of that word, retribution. And that definition was a repayment, or better, Mr. Webster defined retribution as a return appropriate to the action. Since then, since I brought that message in 2012, and in fact much more recently, I broke off our series in the study of John's record of the gospel, as you remember, and I brought to you a short series of what I call gospel messages. Now, I understand that any word from the Word of God is a gospel word. I understand that theologically. I understand that one must be careful in talking about a message being a gospel message versus some other type message. But I take the liberty to use that phraseology, and you understand that I mean by messages which are evangelical and evangelistic in their flavor and intent. I broke off not long ago and I brought a series of what I call gospel messages. I closed that series and returned to our studies in the gospel record of John, having left off my original intent to bring one final message in that series. This is that message. I have been personally burdened much of late with this harsh and sobering reality that there remains among us and all around us those whose eternal standing before our almighty and revenging God, their standing is that of damnation, eternal retribution for their sin. I was reminded again of our brother Luke's admonition to us in one of our New Year's services of all places. I confess I was impressed. To be reminded with an admonition on New Year's to walk daily in the consciousness of this awful reality, hell. And as I said in talking about it before, I say again now, hell is a word that the very speaking of it should send chills of horrid terror throughout our souls. While I confess that no language ever known to any nation on earth could ever describe it adequately or reveal it sufficiently, yet, such as it is, I will attempt again to set before your minds today something of its reality while mortal breath remains in us. Even as the Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of a man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, speaking of heaven. Even as the Bible gives that description of heaven, even so, that same God, with that same creative genius, with that same infinite power, and with that same unfathomable still has set himself to design a place for the eternal punishment of sinners and an eternal monument of the great glory of his inviolable holiness and incomprehensible perfection and exacting justice. God has applied himself to create just a memorial. God has created hell. Before I go forward with a very brief message this morning, and God knows I have struggled, I have suffered this week. Before I go forward with looking at this most sorrowful reality, hell, allow me to pause and say just a word to that Christ-denying, God-hating, obstinate fool who would set himself in blind and damning rejection of this reality in God's perfect moral order. To that fool, I would wish to say, and if you are that fool, I would wish to say to you that nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing but the grace of that same God can touch your dead heart and give you life. But I can assure you that to cling to your self-imposed deception is nothing short of a fatal dream, a monstrous self-deception, and the cruelest form of moral insanity. To cling to your folly. For the sovereign, infinite God who made every fiber of your being hath spoken and cannot lie, and hell is. But additionally, I would pause before I speak of hell to say a word to you who know well the truth of the Scriptures. Yes, you who know it well. You who know well the reality of this place and its purpose, but have lulled yourself into a deadly sleep, halting, waiting, believing you yet have time to sort it all out, or that you are not yet quite ready to flee to Christ. If you're thinking like the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, that you will hear thee again of this matter, I would say to you this morning, only as Paul said that day to the Athenians, that the times of this ignorance God has winked at, but right now, commanded all men everywhere to repent. Nothing will excuse your delay if God snuffs out your life before this day is done. Nothing will excuse your delay. Says Thomas Merton, in hell, the fogs of error, atheism, and unbelief will vanish. They are confuted by experience. There are no atheists in hell. It would lessen their torments if their understanding might be taken away, but it will not for all eternity. And if you delay this morning, if you delay one more day, hell will
Dispel all your doubts, and the fog will clear.
But oh my gosh, my blessed Lord, too late, too late, too late. You see, says Manton, reprobates live in plenty now under the general mercies of God, and for a time, and therefore they think hell is but a dream of the sickened mind. They think it is but a vain scarecrow. But says Manton, take heed, take heed. Justice shall break forth, and though the clouds of mercy may long overshadow it, His justice decreed it. His wisdom designed it. His power will execute it, and He will fall upon the sinner without Christ as His greatest enemy in infinite, eternal, and omnipotent wrath. He will fall upon the sinner as His greatest enemy. So let me this morning set before you very quickly several irrefutable facts about hell. Number one, it is, as I have already demanded, inevitable and irreparable. It is inevitable and irreparable to the soul dying without Christ, without repentance. The justice of God demands it. For you see, the law of God has been broken. And His sovereign right to your obedience. There's a missing element in modern evangelism. There's a missing element in the modern gospel. We hear a lot in our day about rights, but we hear very little or nothing about God's right. And I'm telling you, our God, this sovereign God that made the worlds, made the stars, made the galaxies, this God that made you and made your soul, has a sovereign right to your obedience, and you denied Him. You boldly denied Him. And I say to you, because of that, hell for you is inevitable and irreparable. There's a word in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 that's a horrible word. Speaking there, Peter says, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried away with a tempest. Now listen what's going to happen to them. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved. That Greek word, I studied it out. That word translated reserve, it means to hold something. It means to guard it. It means to keep it diligently. God has established hell, and He holds it, and He guards it, and He keeps it diligently for those that are without Christ, who die in this situation, in this unrepentant state. God has invariably and inevitably held on to this place for you. It's reserved. It's reserved, brother. It's reserved for you. It's not, listen, it is not just that which is preserved for you, but it is also that which is deserved in you. It's not just what's preserved for you in the life to come. It's what's deserved in you in this life. Haven't thought about that? Listen to this. Listen to Thomas Boston. As the curse under which the damned shall be shut up in hell, is the terrible sentence of the law by which they are bound over to the wrath of God as transgressors. This curse does not first seize them when standing before the tribunal to receive their sentence, but they were born under it. They led their lives under it in this world. They died under it. They rose with it out of their graves. And the judge, finding it upon them at the judgment, sends them away into the pit where it shall lie on them all the ages of eternity. By nature, all men are under the curse and shall be damned forever. Be persons devoted, destruct to destruction, separate and set apart from the rest of mankind unto evil, as vessels of wrath, set up as marks for the arrows of divine wrath, and made the common receptacle of his vengeance. But it won't just happen at the judgment, friend. It won't be just there when you hear that sentence that you've been under it. Oh, you've been under it since you were born, you've been under it. Nothing but the grace and mercy of God has held back his wrath to this very hour. You were born under it. Manton said, Boston said, born under it, lived under it, died under it, will be raised under it, will stand before the judgment under it. And because of that, hell for you is inevitable. It cannot be averted. Hell, I say to you, my unbelieving friend, it will not be averted by the genius of intellectual prowess. It will not be thwarted by the schemes of men's cunning. It will not be drowned by the floods of wild skepticism. It will not be outbraved by the prejudice of bold audacity. It will not be averted by any means whatsoever. It is inevitable and irreparable. Psalm 46 and verse 11, God said, I have purposed it, and I will do it. Whatever the Lord purposes, he will do it. He has purposed to vindicate his justice and his law. Number two, it is immediate. It is inevitable. Number two, it is immediate. Oh, don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself. There is no such thing as a soul sleep. There is no purgatory. There is no delay. I was reading one commentator this week. I don't even remember which one it was. And he was smitten. He was making the point that he was smitten in Luke 16, with these words from verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom, and then this, the rich man died, was buried, and hell lift up his eyes. He said he was smitten with the suddenness of it. Oh, the suddenness of it. There's no delay. It is immediate. Hear me this morning. You will be in hell if you die without Christ. Today, you will be in hell as soon as your soul leaves your body, long before your funeral arrangements have been made. Whoa! One scholar said, let this startle the wicked man. Before night, you may be in hell. Before the body be committed to the grave, you may be in hell. The soul flitteth hence, flieth hence, as soon as it departs out of the body to God that gave it to receive woe or will. The hour of death is sudden. Many are surprised and taken unawares. Your carnal companions, if God would use that dispensation, your carnal companions that sometimes browsed and caroused with you and wallowed in filthy excess, by this time know what it is to be in torments. They would fain come and tell you that they are as rotten fruit, ready to tumble into the pit of darkness. And then listen to this. Every wicked man, and who is a wicked man? I'm not talking about murderers and child molesters and thieves and robbers. I'm talking about the soul that's without Christ this morning. Every soul without Christ, listen to this, groweth upon the banks of eternity and hangeth but by a slender string and a slender root. One touch of God's providence and they'll drop off into hell. Oh, God. I think of some that I love. They're just growing on a tender string on the banks of eternity. One touch from God's providence, they'll drop off and be called crap. Listen to me. You're a sinner lost without Christ this morning. Please listen to me. There has been no delay in your refusal. And there will be no delay in His response. Number three. And I've only got 4 points, so don't be upset. Number three, it is hell. It is intolerable. Or if you prefer the word, indescribable. And yet, let me finish the sentence. It is intolerable, and yet, you will tolerate it. And that for all eternity. In our text, chapter 25, Matthew 25 and verse 30, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Bruxmos, the Greek word, is the word the grind. He said that there were bodies found in Auschwitz and other places in the German torture chambers where the pain was so great, men had chewed their own teeth to pieces, ground their teeth until they were crushed. Oh, to be in this kind of pain. But there is no death. It will not stop. You will not escape. Well, did Manton say, the extremities of these pains cannot be told. Fire is an active, furious element. The pain is most excruciating, and no fire is more scalding than brimstone. And to sense, it is most grievous and bitter. But listen, the pains of hell surpass all that's spoken of it. Look as when heaven, he says, look as when heaven is set out by gold and pearls and precious stones, and the joys there are much above these shadows. The joys there are much above these shadows, and so are all the notions of hell. The reality is far beyond our descriptions. Poor creatures are at their wits' end! And is this not true? Do we not find this to be so? We are sometimes at our wits' end when but a spark or a flash of this fire lighteth into the conscience. Judas went out and hanged himself. Job cursed the day that he was born. And yet this is but a drop. These come from hell. They've been in the suburbs of it. Dives wished that Lazarus might but dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. These are warnings. They can tell you what a dreadful thing it is. The Lord Christ, who is the Son of God, perfect in faith and patience, he wanted and lacked no courage. He was under no despair in the mind, in his agonies, and yet he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, what will become of your portion, friend, who deserves it? Well, again, Boston speaks, as in heaven grace comes to its perfection, so in hell sin arrives at its highest pitch. And as sin is thus advancing upon the man, he is nearer and liker to hell. He said, I proceed to speak of the misery of the damned under that curse. A misery which the tongues of men and angels cannot sufficiently express. God always acts like himself. No favors can be compared to his, and his wrath and terrors are without a parallel. As the saints in heaven are advanced to the highest pitch of happiness, so the damned in hell are in the highest degree of misery. Hell torments are represented under the notion of fire, which the damned are cast into. A dreadful representation indeed, and yet not sufficient to express the misery of the state of sinners there. Therefore we hear also Revelation 20 and verse 6, that is described as the second death. For the damned in hell shall be ever dying and never able to die. We hear in chapter 14 and verse 19, it's called the wine press of the wrath of God. Wherein will be trodden in anger, trampled in the Lord's fury. Isaiah 63 and verse 3. Pressed, broken, bruised, without an end. And then Mark 9:44 tells us, it's where the worm dieth not. All of these symbols, all of these pictures. The worm dieth not, and will gnaw, eternally gnaw and gnaw and gnaw. We read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 3, it's described as a bottomless pit, where you'll ever be sinking and never able to fall. It's not simply called fire. The scriptures don't leave it off as just being called fire. But oh, listen to me in verse 10 of Revelation 20. It's called the lake of fire and brimstone. It's called the lake of fire burning with brimstone. All these pictures to try to portray to our minds that hell is intolerable, and yet you will tolerate it. This is the nature of damnation. Oh, but this morning, even as I describe it to you, some will yet remain unmoved, unrepentant, and unprepared. I ask you this morning, why? Will you die? Why will you die? Finally, trying to describe for you some facts about hell. I want to say to you that hell is individual. You see, it's individual because of your own personal guilt. Now hear me. Hell is not some collective, cooperative, conglomerate response to God's moral outrage. Do you get that? Hell is not some collective, cooperative, conglomerate response to God's moral outrage. No, 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 no. It will be your own personal hell. Because of your own personal damnation. Because of your own personal refusal to come to the Lord Christ. Oh, will you hear the scriptures? Galatians 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, listen, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is every one. 2 Corinthians chapter 16. Sorry. Micah. I had to text Luke. I was in Emory University yesterday. All day. And didn't have access to some things. And I had to text Luke and get this reference. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He hath showed thee. You are without excuse today. Hell is individual. Thomas Manton said that most men live as though they have an immortal soul only as a salt to keep their body from stinking. But it is not true. Every individual soul will give an account of itself to God. And you will. Romans 14 and verse 11, as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I'm telling you that hell is individual. Boston says sin is a stream. You see the picture in your mind, don't you? Sin is a stream that will carry every sinner until he's swallowed up in the ocean of God's wrath. But I'll close with one other thought. I've given you four significant facts, and there are many, many more. But I've selected only four significant facts about hell. But I give you a closing thought, if you would have it. Can you hear me now? Hell is not inescapable. Hell is not inescapable. Oh, listen to me. Could I just say, hell is not inescapable. Oh, our God has furnished him with himself a lamb for hell's atonement, Genesis 22 and verse 8. Our God has furnished himself a door for hell's escape, John 10 and verse 7. He's furnished himself a fountain against hell's flames, Song of Solomon 4 and 15. He's furnished himself with bread against hell's hunger, John 6 and 35. He's furnished himself with light for hell's darkness, at John 8 and verse 12. He's furnished, hallelujah, he's furnished water for hell's thirst, John 4 and verse 10. He's furnished wine for hell's diseases, Song of Solomon 7 and verse 9. Oh, I ask you again this morning, why will you die? Why will you die? When God has furnished a way, hell is not inescapable. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Jeremiah 27 verse 13. Why will you die? Why will you die? I close with the words of blessed old Drelincourt. Oh, I've loved this book, Brother John. I've not parted with it since I got it. Drelincourt said, it is certain that no comfort can be found for those sinners who not only understand this to be their dreadful sentence, but also hear the thunderings of the voice of the sovereign judge of the world and continue in their iniquities. They see hell open its mouth to receive them, and the fiery chains already prepared, which shall confine them to all eternity. They even now feel the hands of their tormentors who drag them to punishment and see themselves stretched and tortured in that horrible place where there's nothing but weeping and gnashing of teeth. Even here, he says, even here, they feel the fierce approaches of that lake of fire and brimstone, which is called the second death. And it may be justly said of these unhappy wretches that hell comes to them before they go to hell. And that in this life they have a foretaste of the grievous torments that wait for them in the next. And hence it comes to pass that some of them who die without Christ offer violence to themselves and perpetuate an unnatural murder upon their own persons, as if they were afraid they should not be cut off by hand wicked enough. The expectation of death is more intolerable to them. My friend, I'll pause here and say to you, the expectation of death, if God allows you to have it, it'll be more intolerable for you than enduring the terrors and fears in the bottomless pit. To be delivered from the flashes of hellfire that mount up to their souls in this dying hour, they plunge themselves with a brutal fury in the everlasting burning. I ask you one final time, why will you die? Why will you die? Why will you exacerbate your sufferings by rejecting God's Son? Flee to Him. Flee to Him. Flee to Him with all haste. Flee to Him now.